I'm Carl Broman. I've been developing and maintaining an R package since I first started as a faculty member 16 years ago. The programming is not entirely my own, but pretty close. The maintenance has been entirely my own, and I'm like the one person user support group for the package. So I would say I've been able to sustain that, but just barely. And I just wanted to tell you about my experience. The idea began in January of 2000. A friend of mine, Gary Churchill, came to visit me, and we were talking about our joint interests and the need for software that where we could really develop ourselves to try to do fancier things. The idea began a week before R version 1 was released. He wanted to do it in MATLAB, and I wanted to do it in R, and I programmed like heck over the next week so that I would win. Each dot here is a CRAN release, so the first CRAN release was sort of toward the end of 2001, where I felt like there was enough there that someone would use it. But you can see that the amount of R code has grown to well over 35,000 lines of code. The C code is, which is doing, the real computational work is almost 25,000 lines of code. And the RD files, the man pages, are, 15,000 lines of code. And, there's no, Roxygen going on here that's like typed one word at a time RD files, all those backslashes and braces that actually match. Part of the reason that I don't have any information on the beginning is that at the beginning I was basically editing code in place. I have backups of my hard drive that I could go back to, but it was just like, one version of the thing. I didn't start version control until 2008 and switched then from SVN to Git a year later. Looking at that, I have no idea how I was able to sustain that. Like, if you have someone that provides you with a patch of, they've changed 8 of the, 100 files in the project, they don't tell you which ones, and you have to figure out which ones, without version control, that was crazy. But just briefly, what is the package about? So I study mouse genetics. These are mice. Mice have many things in common with humans, and so I'm studying genetics of mice in order to learn about human disease. The basic thing that we do is do crosses between different strains of mice. Well, I don't do any crosses between strains of mice, but collaborators do, where they take, say, a large mouse and cross it to a small mouse and then mix up the genomes. Essentially the same experiment that Mendel did with peas, a tall plant and a short plant and mix them up. And then we do a genome scan, similar to, human GWAS, but, in this mouse cross. At each position along the genome, we calculate a test statistic and we look for spots in the genome where the three genotypes at that spot differ in some trait of interest, like body weight or insulin level or something like that. But back to the package. It's been a long time. After that length of time, it is kind of hard to find anything that you really like about it anymore. There are some good things about it. Some of the code is pretty good. Some of the design I quite like. I mean, the user interface, I think I had, is clever. It's quite comprehensive. My initial goal was to implement everything good or bad. It doesn't have everything, but it has a lot of stuff. It has a lot of data diagnostics, to allow people to really figure out whether their data are, whether there are problems that need to be fixed. Lots of graphics. none of the graphics really look that great anymore. They looked really good in 2001, but maybe now they, to me, like, I would like to redo those 15,000 lines of code. The more I think about the bad things, like, what I would say is the stupidest code ever. And, I mean, I declare you to find stupider code than this bit right here. This code is looking for the first non-blank character in a vector of character strings. And it's doing it by saying, is this non-blank? Are these two, is this blank? Are these two blank? Are these three blank? Are these four all blank? Are these, I mean, that's what's going on there. Like, I don't know where I was when I was writing that down. But where it comes in is that the basic data file that we mostly use has like a bunch of phenotypes at the beginning and then a bunch of marker genotypes after that. And the way that sort of the markers versus the phenotypes are defined are having some blank fields at the beginning of the file. So I want to find where is the first marker, where's the first, in the second row, where's the first non-blank, field. And some people were saying, we're using your data, your package for really big files, and it's taken like, a minute to load the file. And I'm like, well, you're using really big files. And then I got a big file that I needed to load, and it was like a minute to load this file that just seemed kind of crazy. And then I found that the stupidest code that anyone has ever written right in there. Loading a particular file, it turned out it was 60 seconds to load the file, of which 58 seconds were devoted to finding the first non-blank field in the second row. I like to say that open source means everyone can see my stupid mistakes. And version control means everyone can see every stupid mistake that I've ever made. There's plenty of more typically stupid code in the package. There's this function scan2 that is doing a two-dimensional genome scan. So for every pair of positions in the genome, we calculate a test statistic to learn about, are those pairs of positions associated with the phenotype? Is there an interaction effect? And that one function is 1,400 lines long. And it's not actually doing any work because it's all moving stuff around and pushing it to C. Like, you should not be writing functions that are 1,400 lines long, especially because 10 years later, you're going to want to go in there and try to fix it or add some feature to it. This happens by, over the course of time, you need to make one little fix. I'll just go in there and, add these 8 lines of code and fix that one thing. And then you do that repeatedly for a long time, and it's really terrible. And this whole process, I mean, the C code is 20% of the C code in this package is doing really one thing. Now, there are all kinds of memory management issues in this because it's kind of a big thing you're trying to calculate. But going in there and try to fix it and maintain it is just like a nightmare because it's 1,400 lines of gobbledygook code that I've written over the course of a long time. The basic data structures in the package seem like a good idea at the time. Some of them are really baroque, I would say, that you have to, if you want to get like this key feature of the data, you have to go in 4 levels. Oh, and you want the map that corresponds, you have to look at the attribute. There was some point in, I learned about that you could have these attributes, and I just started pushing all sort of crap into the attributes because it was like, not touch anybody, but I could get back to it again. But, well, yeah. Most of the users of this software, it's their first and perhaps only experience with R at all, or any kind of command line or, typing kind of thing. You know, the questions I get many questions a week, and they're often like completely lacking in any detail. You know, I did something and it didn't work. And sometimes it's my, you know, close collaborators that should know better that they give me these questions or it, you know, I tried that and it didn't work. Or I'll get emails that are like, please see the attached 25 pages of code and pictures and, you know, tell me if I did anything wrong. And I would say incorporating other code. So in the, you know, during this process, we tried to add a like big, huge feature from someone else. And it was a huge amount of effort and we got it in there and it's really there. But then everybody else related to that moved on to other things. And so now I have to maintain that code and figure out the bugs and support people on it. I've come to feel like when it comes to incorporating other people's code, that it's, if you know something really small, that's okay. But like bringing in some big, huge feature, it'd be better for me to help them to write a separate package and let them be responsible for maintaining its feature, and I can just worry about making sure that the connections, you know, the overlaps don't break. Version control has made my life so much better. Like, how could one ever, like, just type code in place and edit it? Or even, you know, I've kept every single CRAN release and really all the intermediate ones, even though I still have the whole thing in GitHub. But just the ability to be able to incorporate other people's changes or to, you know, write issues for yourself or to make a branch and edit stuff and not worry about breaking the working code made my life so much easier. And this is another bad thing about the package. There's basically not a single test at all. I mean, there's some tests of input and output, and you know, our command check, it runs all the examples, and so there you go, there's my tests. Like, looking at it now, like, how does this thing actually give the right answers at all? It's kind of a miracle. The world has changed in the last 16 years. I'm getting data that are more complicated and much bigger, and sort of the central data structure in the package, complicated as it is, can't handle more fancy cross types that people are wanting to do. Rather than try to fix this thing, I just thought I would set it aside, continue to maintain it, and write something new that would be more trustworthy. So RQTL2, let's not make the same mistakes. All that C code in RQTL is straight C using .c, and I'm which seems really great compared to writing a C program separately. But since then, I've learned C++ and RCPP, and I tell you, that is so much better. Roxygen 2, like, how on earth did I write all that those RD files? Roxygen 2 for writing my documentation in one place rather than two, and then writing it, you know, simply makes my life so much better. And then I'm really trying to have unit tests for essentially everything in the entire package, and so it actually can work. Some of those unit tests are comparing it to, you know, RQTL, the old one, and in that process I have found some actual things that were wrong in RQTL. Not that many, but some. So if something's not working, now I have to go, since the other thing was never tested, I have to go and figure out where the bug is between the two code bases. Another thing that's kind of recurrent in RQTL is for every bit of code, I have to do a test of what kind of cross type are you working at? Is it a back cross or an inner cross or something else? And that's sort of all over the place. So if you wanted to introduce a new cross type, like, oh my God, there's like 80 places at random you'd have to find it. So with our QTL2, there's one switch in C++, like a little object factory, and that's the only place in the whole code, and I really think that's the, like, that'll be really make my life easier. Let's not make the same mistakes, let's make different mistakes. So I've split it into multiple packages. I'm not sure that's gonna be a brilliant idea. That, because I split it into multiple packages so that it'd be, you know, the little pieces would be easier, and so, and they'd compile faster, but then you can't really remember, and each of them would have a smaller number of functions, but then you can't remember which functions in which package, so you pretty much have to load them all anyway. If you add another data input format, this one's better. It's not like anybody else's, it's even better. My data structures are flatter. I was gonna try to just everything a rectangle, but I found that like there's a tension between the data structure and the user interface. Like either the user interface is complicated or the data structure is complicated. You have to have one or the other, or you can make everything complicated. But something's gonna be complicated, and I'm leaning towards the data structure. But in summary, I think sustainable software, really the key thing is that if you're using it every day in your own work, you'll keep it going. The academic software that dies, it's mostly because the person has moved on to something else. Take care of your users, I think is really important, that you get the same question lots of times and you go, give me more detail. But it's the first time for them. I mean, it's the 80th time in the last month for you, but you really, I feel like my primary goal is to be helpful. So I need to start from scratch every time. I tend to let them sit there for 4 hours so that I can like have a bit of breathing space and then come back to it. But, users don't read all those RD files that I wrote so carefully, but they'll read vignettes, and that's what they really want, is they want the vignette that does what they do, that they can just plug their data in and get the answers out. Version control and tests. But a lot of people have contributed to the package. Hao Wu especially worked on it for a few years, and I have a lot of users that are very nice to me, and NIH has paid me some of the money paid part of my salary. I'm not sure they know what I'm doing, but yeah. And this is where you can find me. Thanks.
I'm very familiar with many of these issues, but I took it to myself. I'm quite keen on this idea of package two. Are you going to orphan the first one? Because I think that's a big decision to make, and it changes the way you approach package two. Because I'm thinking of doing it for several of my packages, and I haven't quite got my brain.
So the question is, in moving from version one of a package to version two that's totally different, are you going to orphan version one? Like, just, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. My plan is to not. My plan is to continue to maintain and answer questions about version one, partly because there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that I'm just going to not try to port over. That there are people that will find it useful, and I'll continue to make sure it works. But I'm not gonna add new features, and I'm gonna focus my energy on the second one.
One more question.
I just wanted to know, what is your strategy when you roll out new features and how you communicate that to users?
What is my strategy for rolling out new features and communicating it? I have a Google group, so that's like basically an email list, and I have both an announce group and a discussion group. So if people just want to hear from me, they can do the announce one. If they want to talk to each other, or really if they want to talk back to me, then they can use the discussion one. And I just use those two, plus a website.
So does our QTL have many dependencies, or there are
Does RQTL have many dependencies? Not many. Partly I don't trust anybody else except myself, and much of the time don't trust myself either. And part of it is that, like, the more dependencies you have, then the more headaches you have. So, in 2000, there wasn't much to depend on except the base packages, which weren't base even at that point.
Sorry, I was thinking the way around that. Reverse dependencies, people depending on your package, how do you work with them?
Are there reverse dependencies? There are a few, and there are orphaned reverse dependencies that are on CRAN that where I'm the person to like try to fix what's going on in some cases, but there is not that much that I haven't had any. It hasn't been a problem. This is not RCBP or dplyr.
Thanks.